let's get to it. Why don't you turn with me to Acts chapter 11? We're going through the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. We're in Acts chapter 11. I'm going to do something here that's unique and new, something I've never done at Asa Creek before, and I probably will never do again. I don't know, but we're going to do it today. Are you guys ready for that? Yes. What I'm going to do is I'm going to do a through the Bible. It's just our normal thing, verse by verse, through the Bible, use this chapter. But I'm also going to be making a big announcement during this teaching. So it's all in one. If you're wondering what that is, what we've been talking about, it'll be part of the teaching. So kind of killing two birds with one stone. I love how where we're at in the Bible is what we're doing and where we're at in life. Have you guys found that to be true when you're reading through the Bible personally or even as a church as we go through the Bible corporately? It's always amazing how where we're at in the Bible just speaks right into the things that we're being stretched in or being encouraged to do or things not to do. The word just meets us right where we're at. And I find that to be true even today. But our text here is Acts chapter 11, verse 19 is where we'll begin. It says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none, but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." Antioch, interesting town. Famous in those days. Antioch was about 300 miles north of Jerusalem. It was about 20 miles inland from the Mediterranean Sea. But many considered Syrian Antioch the third greatest city in the Roman Empire. At the time, they would say it was only behind Rome, number one, Alexandria, number two, and then, of course, Antioch was the third city. You know, like what would we say? You know, some people would try to say Los Angeles, New York, Dallas, I don't know, Chicago. I don't know what we would say our top three, you know, maybe populated areas are. Many of us, we don't really like populate. We like the farm. So you're like, what, who cares? Well, no, it was a big deal. This was a real center of everything. Antioch was the third most sort of greatest city or considered that in the Roman Empire. Antioch was known for business and commerce, as well as its sophistication. It was more modern than most of the ancient cities in those times. It was known for its culture. It had a very strong cultural vibe historically, but it was also known, interestingly, for its immorality. Commentator, Pastor F.F. Bruce said this about that. He said, "The city's reputation for moral laxity was enhanced by the cult of Artemis and Apollo at Daphne, 5 miles distant, where ancient Syrian worship of Astarte and her consort with its ritual prostitution was carried on in Antioch." Now this is interesting. The city, popular city, beautiful city, technological commerce, but also very perverse. Notice something here. When the gospel came to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, remember we looked at that last week, Cornelius, if you were with us on Wednesday night, we touched on it last weekend a little bit, but Wednesday night we realized that Cornelius is the first Gentile convert. And his household, but he starts off with he's a respecter of God. He's a man that is hungering for holiness and looking for and seeking God. And so, yeah, no wonder that Gentile becomes the first Gentile convert to Christianity. He lived a moral life, but when it comes to Antioch, it's the most utterly pagan city you could find within 100 miles of Jerusalem. It was a pagan city. And so this is a big deal. What we just read, wow, a city like this, God is on the move, and now men of Antioch are getting saved. The operative verse that I think is really cool here is our verse 21. It says right here in verse 21, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and great number believed and turned to the Lord." this is the first time the church is gonna see like a whole city start to turn around, and it's like the city that's into prostitution, sexual immorality, but money and commerce and all that stuff, and we see this big turning around. And this is the first great work of evangelism. This is a word we Christians sort of talk about, but God doing something in Antioch would have been unthinkable for the Jewish people before Jesus. Remember we talked about how Jews, for 1,200 years, the Jewish religion was a very isolated religion. It was only for Jews, not for anybody else. And the Jews looked at the world as Jews, and then anybody who was not a Jew is a Gentile. And for 1,200 years after Moses gave the law, the Jews are like, yeah, whatever, Gentiles, we could care less. But now this new thing is happening. Remember, by the time of Christ, that attitude got to where Gentiles exist to fuel the fires of hell. That's what we talked about last week. So what a weird thing. Suddenly a Gentile city like Antioch. Now we see Peter's vision from last week that don't call unclean what I make clean. And Peter was now open to the idea of Gentiles being part of the church. And now in this chapter, chapter 11, Peter's gonna explain all that in chapter 11 when we get there on Wednesday night. But what's happening here is God saying, we're gonna bring Gentiles into the church and they're gonna come in the masses. And that's through evangelism. What's this word evangelism? It's a term we refer to preaching the gospel. In fact, the Greek word is an interesting Greek word. It's euangelion. That's the Greek word, euangelion. And then eventually through the Latin, it becomes sort of closer to evangelism. And then by the time it comes to modern days, we say evangelism. But it really just means the good news and the gospel. But there's an active part of this word. It's not just like saying the gospel. It's more like one commentator I read says that euangelion means gospeling. When we evangelize, we are gospeling. We're sharing the gospel with other people. So we're spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. So here in Acts chapter 11, some of the Jews were unable to imagine God saving the Gentiles. And even when Peter first talks about Cornelius, a Gentile, and his household, and the people were saved, and some of the Jews said, whatever. We don't believe you, Peter. How could a Gentile be saved? And so we're gonna see on Wednesday night, in fact, let's back up just a little bit. Look at verse 15 of this same chapter, Acts 11, 15. Peter's explaining, he says, "And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them," the Gentiles, "as on us at the beginning." The Jews that had received Christ and had the Holy Spirit come upon them, they knew what that was like. And Peter's saying, like the Holy Spirit came on us, it came on these Gentiles too. Verse 16, "Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, the Jews who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God?" Peter's like, who am I to stop God from saving Gentiles? If God wants to save Gentiles, he can do it. I'm not gonna stop him, Peter says. And then he says in verse 18, "When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." The Jews finally come around, at least the ones talking to Peter here. They realize, wow, the Holy Spirit came upon them too. And Peter's like, who are we to stop that? If God wants to save Gentiles, he can do that. And they all kind of rejoice and said, okay, cool. And then we go into the verse 19 and onward, where there's the preaching of the gospel in, of all cities, Antioch, the pagan city. And it says there in our text, "And many, many of them, a great number believed and turned to the Lord." What a cool thing. Paul the Apostle sums it up like this in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the same notion. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Guess what that word gospel is in the Greek? Yeah, it's that word where we get our word evangelism, euangelion. For I'm not ashamed of the euangelion, the evangelism, the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. To the Jew first, that was the Jews got saved first chronologically, and then also to the Greek. The Greek there is also another way of saying Gentiles. In the world at that time, The Greek was often used as sort of a term to sort of say anybody who's a Gentile. It's like an idiom. Why? Because Hellenism, which was a Greek culture of godlessness and paganism and all that stuff, Hellenism had covered that whole region of the world. When you go to that region of the world today and see all the archaeological ruins, all those cities, you can see the Hellenistic sort of influence, the pillars with the little carving concave lines in them and the Corinthian capitals on top of the pillars. You see a very Hellenistic, with statues of marble people and stuff. That's all very Hellenistic, very pagan, very beautiful if you see the architecture. But it also is what they would say, the Greek culture. It's the Gentiles. So really, in a way, Paul's saying, first salvation came, everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and then also to the Greek. So last week, we talked about Peter's vision, the sheet coming down, and the Lord sort of opening, swinging wide the door open to the Gentiles and say, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And not so, I've never eaten anything uncommon. And the Lord's saying, time to change your thing. Time to switch it up, and the Gentiles are gonna be called clean. Don't call them unclean if I call them clean. So Peter had this vision. And last week we talked about being careful with vision. We want vision. We should pray for vision. In the last days, remember, young men will have vision and old men will dream dreams. And then I sort of shared with you guys that the Lord's been putting stuff on the hearts of our leadership team. And it's for quite some time, the Lord's been giving us vision. And I was gonna share with you what that vision is. And it really has to do with everything we've just talked about. Everything that's right here, this whole story that we're reading in Acts, the spreading of the gospel, evangelism, is something that's such a major theme. We could go tonight if we had time and show how many times the word was preached and people got saved and repented of their sins and accepted Christ and got baptized. Like, this is what the book of Acts is about. Sadly, a lot of churches today don't have evangelism. They don't invite people to Christ. There's a movement that kind of says, well, you can't really accept Jesus and just say a prayer and confess and repent. You can't really be saved by just, confessing with your mouth. Hello, read your Bible. The Bible makes it clear. There's a reason why evangelism over the years includes a repentant heart and a prayer of confession. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus, that God raised him up from the dead, it says you will be saved. That's what evangelism is about. And some people say, well, Brett, it's easy at Athey Creek. You can invite people to come to Christ because there's so many people there. There's likely someone who's going to accept Christ. That may be true, but it's not always true. Sometimes in a group this size, we still don't have someone. I've never had a weekend in the last 10 or 20 years where we haven't had somebody get saved in one of the five services or whatever. Big crowd. But if you've been around Athey, we would do the same thing when we had 20 people in a little circle. That's what we did back then. We did the same invitation and people would come to know Christ, repent of their sins, confess with their mouth. Some of them are sitting in this room right now. People that were saved just by sitting in a school with a circle of chairs and us opening our Bible and sharing the gospel. So Athey's always been a part of evangelism. And it's such a cool thing. I think that's one of the funnest things is seeing people saved. And by the way, a lot of church growth in this modern time is people leaving their church and going to other churches. Athey's seen a tiny bit of that. But we've also seen a ton of new believers, people that were not saved who come in, accept Christ. We're baptizing tons of people, even in the dead of winter. In December, I think we had one baptism. There was like 25 people getting baptized in the, break the ice, baptize them in the Lamb River. These are the chosen frozen. You know what I'm saying? These people are serious about their faith. It's so cool. In the summertime, we did hundreds and hundreds of baptisms and stuff. It's just so cool. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying the Church of Jesus Christ needs to be all about evangelism. And it's part of what we've always done. But this is the thing, and this is where I wanna share with you some of the vision that the Lord's been putting on the leadership team at Athey Creek. And I'm pretty excited about this. It's been long in the making. I've been hinting at some of this stuff because I wasn't sure that we're gonna do it for a long time. And I was just kind of, through the Bible saying, we need to do this. We need to be about evangelism and stuff. But I always kind of, for a long time, I've kind of thought, we're checking the box, evangelism, because we see so many people saved here at Athey. But what the Lord was saying to us here in a vision, direction, clarity, and confirmation, like we talked about, we need to reach out further and harder into our city. the greater Portland area. So without me explaining it, we put a little video together that I wanna show you guys. And this is just a little explanation, and then I'll finish with some clarification and some direction, and then we're gonna call it a day. So this is important, so stay tuned. Here we go, let's roll.
In the heart of the Pacific Northwest lies Portland, Oregon. Early in its history, Portland was a city ripe with opportunity and became a destination for those seeking adventure. However, even in its early years, Portland quickly became a dark place to be. In 1917, this message, Jesus, Light of the World, was prominently displayed over a church building for all of Portland to see. The sign was meant to be a message of hope and the good news of the gospel in a city in desperate need of God's grace and love. In the 1980s, after numerous complaints, the sign was taken down. Portland has become synonymous with crime, homelessness, addiction, and, as of 2020, violence.
Nobody anywhere in this country saw what Portland saw in 2020.
Portland seems to be the hotbed right now for this kind of stuff.
Sending federal forces to resolve violent protests in Portland, Oregon.
Good morning from the beautiful city of Portland. More than 100 consecutive days of nightly demonstrations.
What was it like in the worst of it?
In the worst? A nightmare, I'm not gonna lie.
What used to be one of America's most beautiful and livable cities is being slowly destroyed by epidemic levels of crime, drug abuse, homelessness, and mental illness.
Homelessness in Portland is exploding.
You must stop this insanity, this lawlessness.
Portland is a disaster.
The Portland that I see now is not the Portland that used to be.
Portland, Oregon has become sort of a joke nationally, which really breaks our hearts, those of us that live here. We love our city, but we've watched Portland go from a beautiful city to really the epicenter of homelessness, crime, human trafficking, prostitution. What's the solution? It seems to have eluded us, but we believe there's an answer.
Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if in Portland, the whole city, the whole state of Oregon, the whole of the Northwest would turn to God?
In 1950, Billy Graham came to Portland and did one of his first crusades 75 years ago this summer. And really, the Lord put it on our heart here at Athey Creek and our leadership team to really do the same kind of thing, to reach the lost with the message of the gospel. And that's why in 2025, we're gonna launch the PDX Crusade. And it's a chance for you to bring your friends, your unsaved loved ones, anyone who doesn't know Jesus. We're gonna reach as many people as we can. Man, I'm gonna bring my Bible. We're gonna be sharing the gospel right here at the Moda Center, two nights, August 2nd and 3rd.
We invite you to join us for PDX Crusade on August 2nd and 3rd at the Moda Center for a special gospel message with Pastor Brett and wonderful worship with Chris Tomlin, Zach Williams, and more.
So what can you do? Number one, pray. Pray that the Lord will prepare the unsaved to hear the gospel message. And then number two, mark your calendar for August 2nd and 3rd. Number three, we want you to invite all your unsaved friends, family, loved ones, neighbors, coworkers. And then number four, we need your involvement to get involved. The closer we get to August, we're gonna let you know the opportunities that are available to volunteer and help out. There's gonna be plenty to do, and we're hoping all the Athey Creekers will sign on. The answer is not politics. It's not all that other stuff. The answer is Jesus Christ.
If one person is reached for Christ and has his life irrevocably changed, it would have been worth all the effort. Because Christ said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?"
So join us August 2nd and 3rd here at the Moda Center. We'll see you there. Yes. That's gonna be something. It's gonna be fun. I'm a little horrified, honestly, but at the same time, it's just been such a clear and confirmed thing. You know, that we didn't really search it out even, or we should try to come up with something new. It was definitely something the Lord put on our hearts, and I want to share with you just a little more about that. That's kind of a fun part of the story. and part of the vision and the engagement that we're really hoping that all of you, Athe Creekers, really participate in. It's going to take a whole, church, I think, to pull this off. And it's pretty exciting. But with that said, the PDX Crusade, the theme is going to be simply like that old sign that used to be in Portland, Jesus, the light of the world. Portland needs the light of Christ. It's interesting because that sign that was taken down in 1981, it was kind of famous. It was made for neon because back in 1917, some of the first electricity came into Portland, and they put electricity to the sign in 1917, and so it lit up at nighttime. But what a good message, and yet what happened? Portland's become one of the darker cities in our country. And I think we need the light of the world. John chapter 8, Jesus said this in John 8:12. He said, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And it's not just downtown Portland. It is that for sure. But it's the greater Portland area that needs the light of Christ, even all the way into West Lynn and Wilsonville, but also Vancouver. And just to try to reach out to the greater Portland area, as many people that are unsaved, just to turn on the light switch for them, John chapter 12, verse 46, Jesus said, I have come into the world as light so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. That's the goal. We want to bring the light of Christ, and that's what he's called us to do. He said, you are the lights in the world. So what a funny thing. I am the light of the world, but guess what? You're going to be lights as well. And that's what we're really hoping to be as a church family, is not just be, Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. And I kind of feel like this is the fishbowl, but that's not really where we're supposed to be fishing, in the fishbowl. We need to go out into the world. And so that's what we're hoping to do by going to the Moda Center. That sign, I showed pictures on the video there, but I want to show you a little better. This is that 1917 picture. You can't read it because it's an electric sign at nighttime, and it says it in both directions. So it's kind of hard to read there. Jesus, the light of the world. And then like some of those pictures we showed in the video, this is a postcard from like the 1950s, I think. And then this is it at nighttime, which is kind of a cool thing. The sign was taken down, like I said, in 1980. This is a picture, a friend of mine who's now in heaven, great man. We all miss John Wyckoff. He was a talented Athe Creeker architect. He's the first time I'd ever heard of this. He showed me this painting that he had done of the old sign of Jesus, the light of the world in Portland. And I just really loved it. And then just when he passed away, I got a picture of this. I got a copy of his painting. And it's here at Athe Creek down in the office. Maybe you've seen that. But it's always been, with that, it's been just a little bit of a stirring for me to say, man, we need to bring the light of the world back to Christ. This has been, this whole sign story has been percolating in my heart about that. And so when they took it down in 1980, if you track Portland, it's only gotten worse. By the way, does anybody know why was Portland so bad? And stuff like human trafficking and prostitution and like strip clubs. Portland to this day still wins the strip club, more strip clubs per capita than any other city in the United States of America. What's interesting, we would win that race, not that we want to, but we'd win that even if it wasn't per capita, if Houston beats us by several strip clubs, but per capita, nobody's even close to Portland. We've got prostitution, we've got drug problems and homelessness and all that stuff. And it's because Portland is one of those cities that kind of pushed the light of the world out. But there's kind of an interesting origin. It was 1859 when Portland wrote up its constitution. And when they signed that constitution, one of the things they left wide open, and I don't remember exactly what they called it, but it had to do with the freedom of expression. When we wrote the Oregonian Constitution in 1859, we left the door wide open to freedom of expression. It was the wording of our documents as a state. Because of that, we were one of the first states to have a strip club to begin with. It was in the 50s. Some of the first strip clubs in America came to Portland, Oregon. And it's been kind of, because of that freedom of expression, it's gotten weirder and darker as time's gone by. And now people are saying, like what we showed in the video there, people are like, yeah, let's try to fix it. But everybody thinks they have reasons or ways they can fix it. But we believe, just like old Billy Graham said, that Jesus is the answer. It's interesting because Billy did a crusade. One of the clips you saw there was in the early 90s when he did his last crusade in Portland. It's at the PG Park or Providence Park, as it's called now. This first one was back in 1950, 75 years ago. As a kid, I watched the Billy Graham Crusades, and I remember thinking, you know, that guy's awesome. He's just like, he was so bold, and he just gave a clear gospel message. And, you know, he'd say stuff like, Jesus said, you know, and the Bible says, and then he just with boldness proclaim it. And I remember as a kid, that left a huge impression on me. And then Billy Graham, I got to see his ministry and stuff. And I heard he was called an evangelist. I remember that's the first time I ever heard the word evangelist. And I was like, oh, that's Billy Graham. He's an evangelist. And I never was really drawn to that idea of evangelist. I'm like, well, good for Billy, but I would never want to do that. That just seems scary, and talking in front of a bunch of people and, you know, that kind of thing. I literally as a kid was like, no. That's not my ministry or calling. And I'll tell you a little more about that in a second, but something about the 1950 Billy Graham situation, the formation of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, the whole idea and the whole notion started that night in Portland. In Portland, Oregon, in 1950, in August that same year when he did that crusade, there's kind of a cool story. Two guys, Fred Dienhart and his radio agent friend, Walter Bennett, would track the evangelist Billy Graham down at a conference in Michigan and they said, man, you need to start the first Christian radio broadcast, Christ-centered evangelistic radio, and put it on the national airwaves. And these two radio guys were trying to convince Billy Graham of that, but he just kind of dismissed the idea and said, there's not enough hours in the day to do more. He's already on the, you know, traveling the United States, starting to do crusades. Not easily deterred, the two men repeatedly would ambush Billy Graham any chance they could get. And one of those nights was at the Portland Crusade. The two guys are, Billy, we're here again. He's like, oh boy, here those guys are again. In fact, Billy writes in his book, Just As I Am, that he admitted to trying to take a different elevator to avoid these guys, saying, you know, you need to start a radio program. He got so irritated with their pestering. But finally, the men would say their goodbyes that night at the Portland Crusade. And so he said, yeah, see you later. And he sort of laughed and he said, all right, fellas. He said, if before midnight tonight, I should get $25,000 for the purpose of a radio broadcast, I'll take that as an answer to prayer and I'll be willing to do it. They all had a good laugh and parted ways, because you have to understand, $25,000 is a lot of money back in 1950. So they all kind of laughed. It was sort of a joke, really. And they went their own way. Well, that night at the event in Portland, Billy told the crowd of 17,000 people at that crusade he was talking about these two men that were trying to get him on a radio program. And he even shared the spontaneous promise. He said, I told him I'd agree to join the radio thing if $25,000 were raised tonight. And like Fred Dehart and Walter, the crowd laughed. They all, ha, 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 that's funny. It was all a big joke. Afterwards, Graham preached his gospel message. Thousands of people came to know Christ that night at wherever they were in 1950. But then something happened. After the crusade started closing down, people started walking up to Billy Graham and just handing him money and checks. And it was so weird, like they'd never had, he wasn't asking them to give money. He just said, if we happen to get $25,000 before the night's over. But the Portlanders were so moved to start that, they just started giving money. They had literally buckets they had to collect money in. And when it was all said and done, they all got in, they had $24,000, not 25, $24,000 that just came in, and they were just blown away. And they were saying, look, this is the Lord. But here's the thing, Billy told he told the guys, said, "I feel a little like something's wrong here. Like we're short 1,000 of the 25,000. He said, "If it really was God's will, wouldn't he have provided every dollar of that? I mean, I'm not." He says, "You know, maybe this is the enemy, the devil, trying to get us to do something." And he said, "I just don't know." You know, and they went and had a late dinner there in Portland, and then Billy and his guys went back to the hotel that night about 11 o'clock at night. But when he got to the front desk, the concierge handed him two envelopes and said, "These came to you." And Billy and his guys opened it up, and one had $500. And it said, "We just wanted to have you think about starting a radio program." And they came earlier that day. And there was another check for another $500, both envelopes filling that exactly to the dollar, $25,000 for his radio program. It was kind of a miracle. It was Billy's way of saying, "I guess I'm supposed to do a radio program." Now, there was a couple things that happened to that. One, they started that, but also with all the money that they'd collected, they never had anything like that happen. And they thought, you know, Billy was always on the up and up, trying to make sure and be above reproach when it came to things like money. And they thought, "We can't just be taking money in buckets and doing all this stuff. And we shouldn't be having in our hotel room all this money." So the guy said, "You need to start an association." So there that night was where it was forged. The Billy Graham Association started in Portland, Oregon, right there at that time. And if you know Billy Graham, there's probably nobody on the planet that has ever led so many people to Christ with the gospel message. And I've always been impressed by that as a young kid, to see that story. It's just kind of an amazing thing. Back to my story. So when I was a junior higher, I was a big kid, and all my friends were like 3 or 4 years older than I was. And so I snuck into this high school retreat. And when I went to the high school retreat, basically it was just a really neat time, maybe 20 high school kids. It wasn't a big retreat, but our pastor came and shared, and we were just in the word and worshiping. It was really kind of a really spiritual retreat that was kind of neat. But after one of the teachings, the pastor went around the circle, and this was very, for you, Baptists, I'm sorry, but this was where the Spirit moved in a really radical way. You know how it says in 1 Corinthians 12 that there's the ways the Spirit manifests itself, and there's a list of things? One of those is a word of knowledge. And this pastor just literally walked around the circle of the kids, put his hands on their shoulders and said a prayer, and then spoke a word of knowledge over each one of us. I was in eighth grade, I think, but they were all high school kids. And he said stuff that was just kind of amazing. We're like, "Wow, that's interesting." I remember one girl, "You're gonna be a missionary, and you're gonna do it for your whole life." And then he went to another person, and, "Well, you're going to be a musician and playing music for Christ." Another guy's going to be a TV producer, and he's going to produce videos and stuff like this. And then he came, by the way, all those kids, every single one of the things came to pass to the T. It was just one of those things that only can be confirmed by a life. The girl she went down to Honduras was in Honduras her whole life. The guy that was the video guy, he produced a bunch of Michael W. Smith videos and other Christian music videos and Christian programming, just like the guy said. But when he came to me, he said this. He said, "Brett, you're going to be a Bible teacher, but with an emphasis on evangelism." And as an eighth grader, I was like, "I like the Bible teacher part. I don't like the evangelism part." I remember thinking that. I remember thinking, yeah, count me out on Billy Graham action. Because that, to me, when you say evangelism, is like Billy Graham. As the years went by, I was like, man, I love nothing more than teaching the Bible. That really is what the Lord's called me to do. And that's been my heart and my vision, to teach the Bible. But I've had to admit over the years that, wow, it's kind of cool. You teach the Bible, as it turns out, people get saved. I wish pastors knew that. If you go verse by verse through the Bible, you can even be teaching about something that has nothing to do with the gospel and something else spiritual in the Bible, and people still say, "What must I do to be saved?" Like, that's what happens when you teach the Bible. There's just draw. So that's kind of what I thought. I thought, well, I'm checking the evangelism box as a pastor now. I've been doing this for 40 years now, teaching the Bible. But here at Eighth of Creek for almost 30 years. But it'll be 30 years this September, coming September. But all that to say, I thought, yeah, we've checked the evangelism box. But that's where in the last couple of years, the Lord's been stirring my heart and our leadership's heart to say, we need to stretch out of just Athey Creek, sharing the gospel here, but to let Athey Creekers and us as a church say, let's take it and preach as hard as we know how to get the gospel out to our city. And not just, you know, with a crusade, with other things as well, but this is really what the Lord put on our heart. So the leadership team has been praying for our city and you know, greater Portland area. And then when we started praying about a crusade, we just thought, boy, that's interesting to do something like that. And, you know, we love Greg Laurie down in Southern California. He's great. You know, he does the Harvest Crusades. He and Billy were buddies. And Billy sort of passed the baton of evangelism to Greg in a lot of ways. Most people don't know that relationship. And Greg Laurie's done the similar thing. Some of the biggest crusades in history were linked to some of Greg Laurie just preaching the gospel. And so, you know, we started praying. It kind of came down to where we had to sort of make a decision. We had a prayer time. The governing elders went over to the coast and just prayed for 24 hours and just took a time to pray. And we kind of got just that very clear affirmation to say, you got to do it. Old-fashioned Billy Graham style crusade. You can't just do it at Athey Creek. You got to do it somewhere where you can get a lot of people. And in Portland, there's kind of only one place to really do that because it rains on the Providence Park, even in August. So we're like, wow, Lord, really something like big like that. But we just got a real clear yes. And I remember we were all kind of saying, boy, this is great. Praise the Lord. But how are we going to pay for something like that? We really did. We were like, how do you pay for something like that? Do we have to raise money? Because Athey doesn't raise money. If you noticed, I've never asked for money. We've never, done a fundraiser. We just don't do that. I've never asked people, please give us money. That's never happened. But after getting the clearance, we all kind of walked away and said, well, the Lord's going to provide. If he's in this, you know, the old saying, when God guides, he provides. And we'll just see that. If that's the heart of the Lord, we'll just see that confirmed. I kid you not, we all come home from the coast, we're like, man, great, we're gonna do a crusade. Don't know how we're gonna pay for it, but here's hoping, here's praying. The next day, $1 million check came in the mail. Seriously. Now, we don't get that every week, just FYI. That doesn't happen very often, never. We have been saving our money a lot. We've been saving, because we have a building project someday where we need to get bigger space for y'all and maybe go down from 5 services to 4. So we've been saving, and we have money in the bank saved for the building project, but we really didn't want to rob that, you know, just the fact that came in the day after we got home was really something. It was a little bit like the Billy Graham confirmation in some ways. And since then, we've had confirmation after confirmation after confirmation. So all that to say, what's the game plan? I'm just going to give you a kind of a high-level game plan and sort of get you thinking and praying about this, because we want you all to be a part of it. Let me just share that with you guys. What's the game plan? Well, number one, we're going to come together as a church and try to shine the light of Christ. That's the goal. And the first thing I want us to kind of think about is, how can you and I be the light? Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Step into this mission that we've been called to with excitement and purpose to say, we're going to try to be the light that Christ wants us to be. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are the chosen race, ESV says, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We have been called out of darkness. That's why we as Christians, even though we live in Portland, we love the Lord. We're fine, because we've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. So that's the first step, I think, that we need to do in thinking about a crusade. Be the light. Number two, spread the light. You can't just stand there and be the light. We're called to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And you may not be called to preach a sermon. You know, maybe that freaks you out like it sort of does me, although I do feel confirmed that I'm supposed to do this. I don't think I'm able or capable or, you know, anything like that, but I do feel called to do that, to preach the gospel. But how can you, if you're not a preacher, how can you spread the light? Well, that's where you can invite non-believers. This is going to be quite a fun event. The music is going to be great. We mentioned Chris Tomlin, Zach Williams. Those are two that we can mention already. But there's more that we can't mention yet. We'll be able to tell you later. But it's going to be great. We're going to have three or four more artists that we're talking with and excited about. So it's going to be an event. You won't be embarrassed by bringing your friend to the Rose Garden. I'm not going to embarrass you. At least I'll try not to. And Athan Creek Leadership, we want it to be an event where they're like, wow, this is fun. This is, and they'll sense a difference. The Rose Garden is going to feel different than a Blazer game. And I know this because I've been to Harvest Crusades and stuff like, maybe you've been to a Billy Graham Crusade. It's different. The Holy Spirit moves in a place like that, especially when you put that effort in. And it's like you just sense the Lord is moving. And that's the thing. It's going to be an event where I think the people could be very well drawn. And we're going to use what we have to shine the light on the good news. So spread the light. Reach out to your unsaved family, friends, co-workers, and people you go to school with. I'm reminded 1 John 1:5-7. It says, this is the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So there you have it. That's what we're supposed to do, is spread the light and walk in the light. We need to do that from now to August. Spread the light. So be the light, spread the light. Number three, shine the light. Let your light so shine. Serving, that is to shine the light by serving, helping, reflecting love out to our community. Use this as a bridge to invite others to the crusade. That's kind of what we want. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. We've already seen kind of a radical testimony. The guys that run the Moda Center are like, what? You're going to do what? A free event? Nobody does a free event at the Moda Center. Like, we're going to do a free event. And they're like, man. And we've even been able to convince them, you know, that Portland needs help. And we have the answer in Jesus Christ. And so they've already given us some discounted rates. Like the Lord's gone before us. Really cool. So anyway, we're going to do that. These are the big three. Be the light, spread the light, shine the light. And then there's three P's I want you to remember. Three P's for partnering. And that is to pray. We can't pray enough, and we got to pray for Athey. Got to pray for our community, for the unsaved. The Lord will work on their hearts. And then secondly, we need to promote. We need Athey Creekers. This is where we need y'all to do this. You need to plan on being there, but you also need to plan on bringing your unsaved friends. This is I think maybe one of the best chances you'll have to invite your unsaved friends to something at the Moda Center. It's not in a church building, just some great music. And I wouldn't lie to them. Our pastor's going to share a gospel message, kind of like Billy Graham. That's why it's called a crusade. We're not trying to hide that. But we want people to know they can come to the Moda Center for free, and you can drive them down there, take them with you. So we need you to sort of be the billboard to tell everybody what's happening. We've also got some really fun practical ways. And again, we've never done anything like this. This is kind of new. But we've got t-shirts for all of you guys. Everybody, t-shirts that's going to have the crusade stuff on. So when you're walking around, people go, what in the world is that all about? Great discussion starter. Bumper sticker for your car. I'm going to put it on my truck. And maybe it'll bring up a conversation, you know. Or somebody's going to be preaching. Yep, somebody. Well, So in a minute, I'm going to dismiss us a little early, and I'll tell you why. Because I'm going to need y'all to, on your way out, grab a t-shirt, grab some bumper stickers. It's all going to be free to y'all, and it's going to be fun. In fact, I even got you can even start choosing it right now. What are you going to grab? it's pretty fun stuff. Yeah, that's going to be fun. Yes. So back to the three P's. Pray, promote. We got to promote this and share the light of Christ by doing that. And then thirdly, participate. Participate. So so the last few points in all this you're going to wonder, well, when do we start volunteering for serving and helping? Because we're going to need, this is true, I'm going to need 2,500 volunteers. You say, well, how are you going to get that? Right now, Athey has 2,800 volunteers that make the services go here at Athey. So I'm pretty sure we're going to get there, but I don't think you want to miss out on the volunteering. Another thing that you might ask is, Brett, what if people get saved and then want to come to Athey Creek? you're like, let's see, carry the one. Well, this is kind of a neat thing. This is part of the vision the Lord gave us, and that is to, and this has been a little bit of a harder task than you might think, to find the like-minded churches in the greater Portland area and for us to team up with them. I'm telling you, it's a delight already. I've met with several pastors already. Yes. You know, some of these pastors are just faithfully teaching the word and sticking to it. There are those churches out there. And what we would love to see is their churches filled with new believers. And so we've made a list of Bible teaching churches. I've been meeting with the pastors. And what I'm saying is not, please give us money to do a crusade or partner with us and this or that or the other thing. What I'm saying is, can we send people to your church? That's what I'm asking. That's all we're asking. Can we please send people to your church? And all the pastors I've talked to so far are like, yes, please, thank you. And I think that needs to happen, especially after 2020 and the COVID closed downs, and there's churches that have not fully recovered of some of that, but there's some good churches, Bible teaching churches out there that we wanna help with that. And we're gonna help, you know, connect new believers to those churches and have real connection with that. So that there's quite an organization that the teams are working on even as we speak. So some of those churches are going to help volunteer as well. I think we're going to have a lot of volunteers, but I think it's one of the funnest ways to be a part of this, to help volunteer for the actual event and even for some things beforehand. So we're not going to really nail down all the volunteer stuff until the beginning of May. You just watch for the beginning of May. That's where we're going to really organize volunteer stuff. And then the event is the second and third of August. So stay tuned. You know, we'll keep reminding everybody about it and announcing things that we have as we move forward. But we can't overstate this enough. You know, pray for the crusade. And I think this is a way for us to say, you know, if Antioch, the pagan city of prostitution and wackiness, if the whole city becomes saved, why couldn't the Lord do a miraculous work and see, Portland saved? I think we shouldn't aim low. I think we should aim high and say, let's just reach as many people as possible. Yeah. So let's pray about that right together. Lord, we are so excited to hear and know your voice and to receive vision and direction. Lord, these are exciting times in the world to be a Christian, but exciting times as an Athey Creeker, Lord, for us to see that you've provided for us, that you've opened the doors and confirmed over and over again that your hand is in this. So I pray that we would all take this seriously and look for those opportunities to share and invite and to participate, Lord. So just give us energy. I pray that these next months as we prepare and plan and pray, Lord, that you just continue to guide us and direct us. May it be an event that gives you glory and honor, not unto us, but unto thy name be glory and honor, Lord, we pray. So even as we read here in the book of Acts, such a glorious evangelistic work, we pray that you would do that work in Portland area, Lord. So we commit it to, we pray blessing now. In Jesus' name, amen.